Travel by my dragonfly. No, it's not in Spain. But on the sea, you know it's a blue hand. And the wind's just right. Hey!
Have been sleeping since September 17th. The march was peaceful, but police later beat a handful of protesters with batons after they toppled the police barricade in an attempt to march down Wall Street. Police say a total of 28 people were arrested on Wednesday. Meanwhile, smaller protests against Wall Street continue to take part across the country.
Early this morning, police raided the Occupy San Francisco encampment less than a day after some 1,000 protesters marched through the city's financial district. In Boston, protesters have entered their seventh day occupying of Dewey Square in the city's financial district. In St. Louis, police arrested 10 people Wednesday. In Washington State, 26 Occupy Seattle protesters were arrested after police moved into a public park where protesters have been camped out for 5 days.
More than 700 people taking part in Occupy Wall Street were arrested Saturday as thousands attempted to march across the Brooklyn Bridge. Demonstrators, including the hundreds who have camped out just blocks from Wall Street since September 17th, say they represent the majority of Americans. They aim to spark a social movement that can challenge the concentration of economic and political power. The New York Police Department say they warned protesters they would be arrested if they walked across the Brooklyn Bridge's roadway instead of the elevated pedestrian walkway. Police then used large orange nets to pen the protesters on the bridge and proceeded to arrest them one by one.
My wife said, no, get in the lead. I said, no. Let the boy walk.
In Seattle shows police entering a tent and arresting the activist.
The way he learned from his father.
A woman being arrested.
What happened? What happened?
We're standing on a sidewalk. It's illegal, apparently, so be careful on the sidewalk, guys.
Well, you were just standing there. What did they grab you?
They said it was an unlawful assembly, but I was the only one on the corner, so I don't know.
What's your name?
Troy Davis. Troy Davis, Emmett Till, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King.
Minutes later, we arrived at the intersection where the police had beaten protesters on Wall Street. We'll go back to that tape in a minute, but voices of eyewitnesses to last night. This is Democracy Now!, Democracy Now! Police. Let's go back to that video of the arrests.
Standing on the corner of Wall and Broadway, some people are shouting, "Who are you protecting?" There are police on horseback behind us. There's a smell of pepper spray in the air. Just a little while ago, a group of people tried to come onto Wall Street, and a number of people were arrested.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson.
For nearly 2 weeks now, media has
among the thousands at last night's Occupy Wall Street protests here in New York was award-winning journalist and author Naomi Klein. She's the author of the best-selling book, The Shock Doctrine.
Comedians outside the White House against the proposed Keystone XL pipeline, which would carry oil from Canada's tar sands to Gulf Coast refineries. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but Naomi, you came here to New York to occupy Wall Street, so tell us about what you found.
Well, it's just been extraordinary. I just want to say, just off the top, what a great show this has been.
Oh, shit, there's a horse in the hospital.
David Super, a New York City public school teacher and U.S. Army veteran who took part in the march, says the police lured the demonstrators onto the bridge.
The police told us that if we continued on the roadway, we would get arrested for disorderly conduct. But then, after that, they opened up the roadway for us. And the entirety of the demonstration followed onto the roadway. So maybe at that point, I think the people up front were warned, the first 25 to 50 people, but everybody else was not.
The police had city buses waiting to transport the hundreds of arrested protesters to prison. Despite the escalating arrests, support for Occupy Wall Street has grown over the last week, and some, including educator Yotam Merim, says this weekend's mass arrest was a way to intimidate those planning a labor and community mobilization this Wednesday.
Yes, I have a gun, it is a 5.5 MP automatic, and a shotgun, and it penetrates to armor-proof bullets. Can you fix this? Because I need against, you know, certain authority.
What kind of a rifle is it again?
Chick down, work her out like the sand dunes. I be in the city at the function where I ran into her, talking to her friend too, that's how the youngin' maneuver. Go hard, never give, been on that better shit. I can say some simple shit, still gon' be better than. Destroy all you niggas, see me in a Nike, let him in. Never talk about it, all I do is show evidence.
Fit it with a C on it, belt with a G on it. Hold my dick up, man, girl, wanna be on it.
For nearly 2 weeks now, if the media has paid any attention to Occupy Wall Street and their protests, it is to note the number of arrests made, possibly clear their throats about the violence of certain police tactics, or dismissively discuss the protest as either aesthetically unappealing or lacking in concrete demands. Towards that last end, the General Assembly of New York City, which represents the occupiers, has posted a declaration that is not unlike our own Declaration of Independence, with its list of extended grievances. This is part one of that declaration that was agreed upon by all in attendance at the General Assembly on the morning of September 29, 2011 in Liberty Plaza. Quote, "As we gather in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people who feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. As one people, united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors. That a democratic government derives its just power from the people. But conversely, corporations do not seek consent to exact wealth from the people and the earth, and that no true democracy is attainable when the process is determined by economic power."
I think that was a clear message. You know what? We're going to arrest 700 people, and that's going to scare unions, working families, like people who are actually struggling with real issues that can't miss work, who have kids, who have, and they're not going to come out on Wednesday, because if they do come out on Wednesday, that's a big deal. And I think that was part of a really clear move to try to keep this limited to, you know, young people who are militant and whatever, and keep it from being truly representative of people with real needs in New York City. And I really hope that the unions and community groups come out anyway, because not only would that disprove what the police are trying to do, but it is the protection that we and they need. They can't be arrested, and that's why they're trying to scare them away, because they really do give us the legs that we need to make this a serious movement.
Oh,
do give us the legs that we need to make this a serious move.
The police use of mass arrests to break up large protests is not new. Michael Ratner is the president of the civil rights advocacy group, the Center for Constitutional Rights. He argues these latest arrests are part of a pattern also displayed at the G8 summit in Toronto and past political conventions.
Why did they arrest them? They didn't arrest them because they were doing anything wrong, just as they didn't arrest those people on the bridge because they were doing anything wrong. They arrested them because they don't want people on the streets. They don't want huge manifestations of thousands, tens of thousands, and maybe hundreds of thousands of people on the streets because they know that that's how change is made in this country.
Square, and he said, I mean, how do we get out our message? The media will not talk to us. And I said, I can't believe you haven't figured it out yet. And he said, well, what? I said, go buy a little red clown nose, go up to a reporter and go beep, 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 and they'll interview you.
Still evolving into humans.
It takes a long time.
Celebrities and thought leaders. Yet the mainstream American media has been slow to cover them. Joining us now is one of Occupy Wall Street's celebrity reporters, John Perry Barlow. Let's jump right in. What are the demands of the protesters?
I think, you know, it's difficult because people look at things in terms of demands and ideology and bills of particulars. What the people on Wall Street and other similar sites are doing is manifesting their awareness of something that the rest of the country seems to be ignoring, which is the fact that in their immediate vicinity, over $1 trillion was stolen from the American economy, literally stolen from the American people by the institutions and individuals on Wall Street and the banking community.
Rupt and corrupting way to welcome a new generation into politics. And of course, coming from a media culture that has worked so hard to dumb down this society. So it's just enormously ironic when they're mocking these very, very well-informed and
educated. We don't have to take this from you, Naomi. Let's turn to the networks themselves.
In response to the mass arrest and police brutality, thousands marched Friday from the Wall Street encampment to police headquarters. There, participants called for an end to police brutality and racism. Among them was 21-year-old Bronx resident Jorge Javier. He says law enforcement's everyday treatment of low-income communities of color is now undeniable to the mostly white protesters and the media.
I think their eyes were opened to, like, a dark truth, essentially, you know, that the police, maybe, and I wouldn't just say New York, but definitely in New York, has a very heavy hand, you know, and they do not hesitate. And I think it's very telling that it was, and that in the videos, it was like the higher ranking officers who were doing the, because it's almost like, it just really shows almost what they represent and what their kind of, modus operandi almost is. Like,
people out there, it's time to take a break, a little intermission, go urinate, get a little bit of popcorn, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'll get that quarter old gold.
All right, y'all. This is Furious George. We're just going to spotlight what's going on Wall Street with the nonviolent Wall Street protesters facing mass arrest and the uprising there. Because, you know, that's what we do. We spotlight that kind of stuff here on Furious George Hour, 103.5 WCOM FM, Chapel Hill Carbro. Just chilling in here. Smooth like with DJ Smooth Jazz. And some little live jazz there in the background. I'm going to just keep going with lots of new stuff, including music from the new Low End Theory number 20. Featuring Toki Monsta and others, as well as new music from Daylon and some new stuff that you probably haven't heard from the underground radio scene, as well as clips and sounds from the amazing protests that are going on right now, and not only in D.C. or in New York, but also in D.C. and Seattle, Boston, including Raleigh, apparently, here on Sunday. So stick around for details about that. If you want to learn more about Furious George, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. I'll be back because I'm furious. Stick around.
Support for the occupiers has taken many different forms. Saturday saw the distribution of nearly 50,000 copies of a paper called the Occupied Wall Street Journal. Since Thursday, 900 people have donated over $37,000 online to publish the paper. Co-creator Arun Gupta says the paper relays the ideas, stories, and people of the occupation.
The Occupy Wall Street movement has been represented and even more often misrepresented in the mainstream media. So the idea was behind this that there needs to be some sort of media project in print coming out of the occupation.
Protesters have declared they intend to occupy Wall Street through New York's frigid winter months. Demonstrators planned another rally Monday outside City Hall to protest the latest round of mass arrests. Reporting for the Real News Network, this is Jess Lenoir in New York.
At a time when corporations, which place profit over people, self-interest over justice, and oppression over equality, run our governments. We have peaceably assembled here, as is our right, to let these facts be known. They have taken our houses through an illegal foreclosure process, despite not having the original mortgage. They have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. They have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in the workplace based on age, the color of one's skin, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. They have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. They have profited off of the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless animals and actively hide these practices. They have continuously sought to strip employees of the right to negotiate for better pay and safer working conditions. They have held students hostage with tens of thousands of dollars of debt on education, which is itself a human right. They have consistently outsourced labor and used that outsourcing as leverage to cut workers' health care and workers' pay. They have influenced the courts to achieve the same rights as people with none of the culpability or the responsibility. They have spent millions of dollars on legal teams that look for ways to get them out of contracts in regards to health insurance. They have sold our privacy as a commodity.
They have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press. They have deliberately declined to recall faulty products endangering lives in pursuit of profit. They determine economic policy despite the catastrophic failures their policies have produced and continue to produce. They have donated large sums of money to politicians who are responsible for regulating them. They continue to block alternate forms of energy to keep us dependent on oil. They continue to block generic forms of medicine that could save people's lives and provide relief in order to protect investments that have already turned a substantial profit.
Adding to those real people, support from labor unions, because those protests we've been watching against Wall Street are gaining momentum. Thousands of people, as we said, expected to march in New York City today, but we really have been seeing protests across the country and hearing from people across the country.
This is the beginning, really, of a people's movement, a people's revolution, nonviolent, if you will, in this country. And frankly, it cannot be ignored.
It's for all of you who are tired of watching the banks get bailed out while we get sold out.
Wealth disparity, corporate personhood, these things are unacceptable while millions are on the streets starving.
We as North Carolinians have to stand up against the bank corruption and the greed that is going on Wall Street.
There's the rich, then there's the poor, and then there was us. And the rich are stepping on our necks. They're trying to squash us down. But this is called an uprising. And we are taking back what is ours.
Leo Girard is the international president of the United Steelworkers of America. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. And tell me why your union is getting behind this movement.
Well, we're getting behind it for some pretty simple reasons. Just like those young college kids that have two master's degrees and can't find a job, because of Wall Street corruption, we've got millions of people that have lost their homes and can't find a home. We've got millions of workers who have lost their job because the factory closed because Wall Street got those factories to move to China with bad trade deals. We've got workers that have lost their pension because of the Wall Street collapse, and then they see these Wall Street guys lining their pockets with big bonuses. We're part of the 99% that's being left behind by an economy that has got the support of the Republican Party and is catering to the ultra-rich.
Of course, she is one of dozens of mainstream financial reporters that cheerled the housing bubble and every bubble before it, completely missed every sign coming that the economy was about to crash. So I don't think she's in much of a position to be so snide. But of course, you know, that I don't think that is why people are protesting, because they think that they lost money on the bailout. It's the very nature of the bailout. It's the very nature of just the banks being able to get hundreds of billions of dollars from taxpayers with absolutely no strings attached. And that homeowners were sacrificed.
The several million people who've lost their homes would definitely cheer profit that was made on the bailout.
It was the decision to bail out the banks with no strings attached, and not to bail out workers, and not to bail out homeowners. And now to pass the bill for the crisis that was created on Main Street and the crashing of the global economy to the public sphere, and now having the cost of that crisis passed down at the federal level, at the municipal level, and taking the forms of all the cutbacks that all those the union spokespeople were talking about, the healthcare workers, the education workers. These are the people who are paying the costs for their crisis. And you know, the slogan "We won't pay for your crisis" started in Italy 2 years ago, and it spread to Greece, and it spread to France, and it's really been globalized. And that to me is really that, and we are the 99% is really what's bringing people to the streets. It's inequality, but more than the inequality, the injustice of the most vulnerable people having to pay the costs of the crisis for the rich. And of course, she completely misunderstood the source of that rage, misrepresented it.
Crazy with pepper spray.
with batons, started beating everybody. I was there filming it as a press, just holding my camera up like this. And then the police officer came, got some pepper spray thrown at me. One police officer, I have video of this, is going to be uploaded on our YouTube channel right now, took his baton sideways and just banged me right in the stomach and then threw me on the floor. And I'm just there as a journalist. I kept telling them I'm a journalist, and they just threw everybody on the floor and kicked everybody out.
People were just trying to walk down Wall Street. And we started marching forward, and the police held us at the barricade. And then suddenly, one of their officers jumped into the crowd and started beating people and pepper spraying. The inspector started swinging wildly at us, hitting people, and I got hit on my back. Many other people got hit.
Upon trying to enter, the police officers brought out their clubs and their mace and sprayed at least five or six people, and were continue out there like Luke Skywalker out there with their clubs, billowing in circles. Got a good number of people, probably about 20 or 30 arrests.
I just got 1,000 people just to stand with us in solidarity, because what's going on right here is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. People should not have been pepper sprayed in the face, should not have been slammed to the ground. We did absolutely nothing wrong. We came peacefully, and this has gone on long enough. We just want peace. We just want change. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of seeing this abuse. They do not run this country. This is our country.
And nobody went to jail. They're protesting the fact that practically all of the wealth is streaming toward the upper 2% in the United States. They're protesting about the fact that they are well-educated, some of them coming from the best schools, and they have no immediate prospect of employment in this economy because all of our jobs have been shipped offshore and all of the money is being hoarded by the top. So what they're demanding, first of all, is that the laws be enforced regarding regulation of financial institutions. They're demanding that corporate personhood be abolished, because that makes it possible for the corporations to impose huge influence, even greater than they have in the past, on the legislative process. And they're protesting the fact that we have economic policies that are being driven by various conservative elements in a way that will make certain that the plutocracy gets richer and the rest of the country gets poorer.
So Ray, your partner here, colleague,
comrade.
She got seen the protests in Greece and Europe elsewhere. Did you guys take your cue from that? Are you hoping to incite, certainly what was a lot of attention, if not police activity? I know over the weekend there was over 100 arrests, and you guys got things fired up. Are you taking your cues from the international movement? And how do you want to see this in? If you could have it in a perfect way, how would it be?
Well, I don't know. It's really difficult to kind of answer questions leading to those conclusions. I'd say that we didn't take our cue off of anybody, really. It became a more spontaneous movement. As far as seeing this end, I wouldn't like to see it end. I'd like to see the conversation continue. This is what we should have been talking about after 2008 when the economy collapsed. We basically patched a hole on the tire and said, yeah, let the car keep rolling. Unfortunately, it's fun to talk to the propaganda machine in the media, especially conservative leading networks such as yourself, because we find that we can't get conversations on the Department of Justice's ongoing investigation of News Corporation, for which you are an employee, but we can certainly ask questions like, why are the poor engaging in class warfare? Now, after 30 years of having our living standards decrease while the wealthiest 1% have had it better than ever, I think it's time for maybe, some participation in our democracy that isn't funded by news cameras and gentlemen such as yourself.
Okay, but let me give you this challenge, Jesse.
Sure.
We're here giving you an opportunity on the record with Credit Ancestry to put any message you want out there, give you fair coverage, and I'm not going to in any way
be
biased about it. So, there is an exception to the case. Be able to get your message out without us, yes?
No, certainly. I mean, take for instance when Glenn Beck was doing his protest and he called the president a person who hates white people and white culture. That was a low moment in America's history, and you guys kind of had a big part in it. So I'm glad to see you coming around and kind of paying attention what the other 99% of Americans are paying attention to, as opposed to the far right fringe who would love to just destroy the middle class entirely.
All right.
Stabilize the economy. Gang, I warn you again. We are in for trouble, and I fear it is close. I will give you some information that has been come to my attention today I don't know if it's credible or not. It has been verified. Not me. Coming from the right sources, it appears, and these people have credibility who are releasing this information, and it is about an attack on Wall Street next week. Van Jones has said some spectacular things. He said it will be remembered, October will be remembered for the progressive movement, that it is game-changing what is happening this month. I don't know what that means exactly. I know that the unions join this movement down on Wall Street tomorrow. They are starting this movement in Washington, D.C. and all over. Do not dismiss them. If you have money in the stock market, if you have, may I just recommend that you have some cash handy? That you have your food and everything else ready. I hope to God that none of this stuff happens. But you have people who are anarchist revolutionaries who are intent on collapsing the system. They are trying to break the system. And I will share with you at the top of the hour a threat that has just come in that you should take seriously.
Fair enough. you have a voice and an important reason to criticize myself, my company, and anyone else. So let me ask you that. In fairness, does this administration or President Obama have any criticism as to the financial situation that they're facing now?
I think myself, as well as many other people, would like to see a little bit more economic justice or social justice, Jesus stuff, as far as feeding the poor, health care for the sick. You know, I find it really entertaining that people like to hold the Bill of Rights up while they're screaming at gay soldiers, but they just can't wrap their heads around the idea that a for-profit healthcare system doesn't work. So let's just look at it like this. If we want the president to do more, let's talk to him on a level that actually reaches people, instead of asking for his birth certificate and wasting time with total nonsense like cilantro.
Sunny D. For extreme protest thirst. The Occupy Wall Street movement has basically been a four-week downtown Manhattan live-in, which has spread to cities all around the country, causing the media to move its coverage dial from blackout to circus. It's too bad. Those are the only two settings it has. Intrepid reporters from all the major networks and CNN went down to talk with the protesters. Of course, the reporters changed into their undercover 21 Jump Street outfits. What's up, protesters? Mind if we chillax with you in HD? Because the aspect ratio on the shot's gonna be... Why are the protesters there? Well, the answers ranged from extremely earnest college roommatey to powerful and cogent.
What do you guys want?
Bring attention to the pervasive influence that corporations have in the political process.
What do we as Americans agree on? What can we do about it?
We the people are here to take the power back.
Now, after 30 years of having our living standards decrease while the wealthiest 1% have had it better than ever, I think it's time for maybe, I don't know, some participation in our democracy.
Yeah! That motherfucker brought game! You know what he said? What's up, Tea Party? I see your tri-corner hat, and I raise you a Union Soldier kepi. So those are the protesters, or to put their words another way,
I think if you put every single left-wing cause into a blender and hit power, this is the sludge you'd get.
I saw one guy with a guitar and they asked him, you know,
it's very hippie.
It's like Woodstock meets Burning Man meets people with absolutely no purpose.
They are some of the most uninformed people if you listen to them.
They're all over the map.
Demolition of capitalism. If we learn to share, we can all live in prosperity.
All of those quotes could have been said in 1789 France before the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution, or with only slight modification when the Nazis were coming to power. This is always the beginning of totalitarianism.
This group is a laughable gang of disorganized, confused Nazis. This is an ill-disciplined, highly trained, weed-smoking fascist organization.
Hey,
protesters do have some surprising defenders.
You know, the average American taxpayer knows that at the end of the day, they're going to be on the hook for the trillions and trillions of dollars that we're using to bail out these companies, some of whom have been irresponsible, and they are expressing their frustration, which I think is quintessentially American.
Bravo, bravo, Sean Hannity. Breaking ranks with your conservative friends. Oh, that's a clip from 2009 about the Tea Party? What does Sean Hannity think about these protesters' frustration?
They hate corporations, they hate capitalism, and in the end, ultimately, they want statism over free markets, so they really don't like freedom.
Oh. All right. So rage against duly elected government is patriotic, quintessentially American, whereas rage against multinational shareholder accountable corporations is anti-American. Gotcha. Okay, that's good. I don't get it. Here's a group of Americans, disenchanted, railing against big government bailouts, angry because they played by the rules, worked hard, now they're in debt from student loans and they're unemployed. I mean, look, if this thing turns into throwing trash cans into Starbucks windows, nobody's going to be down with that. We all love Starbucks. But these protesters, how are they not like the Tea Party? All right, some of them, you know, smoke and have pants made out of pot. So call them the THC Party. Aren't these folks real citizens with real problems? Aren't they also speaking for America?
These folks aren't speaking for America.
Just your basic green, anti-capitalist, anti-bank, anti-Wall Street, anti-America demonstration.
That's not Tea Party behavior. That's not America-loving behavior.
They probably don't even masturbate to the Constitution. That's what I think. All right, I'll bite. Why are the Occupy Wall Street folks unworthy of Tea Party respect and ideals?
They're not law-abiding citizens. They're camping in a park where camping isn't allowed. They're breaking the laws on the Brooklyn Bridge. That's not Tea Party behavior.
Everything you described there, I believe, is a misdemeanor. The actual Tea Party was a felony. Do you know how much trouble? I mean, do you know what the Tea Party actually was? You know how much trouble you'd get in if you broke into a ship, stole the cargo from the ship's owners, and just threw it overboard? Not to mention the EPA fines and the damage it would do to your Indian costume.
We'll be right back.
whereby the people sort of march up, rise up, if you will, and these austerity programs are forced to go on the back burner, thus disenabling a country like Greece to pay its bills.
I don't think we're going that far in the United States. To some extent, the movement, so to speak, that we see in Greece in terms of the strikes and the protests, you know, simply haven't gravitated over here, and I don't suspect they will. Always fascinated by the debates and by the policy differences, so to speak, but to a considerable extent, the policies are much the same in terms of favoring capital as opposed to labor. And until we begin to have that sense in terms of the Main Street public that it's labor that needs to be favored in terms of policies, then I don't think we're going to see much of a protest per se.
That was William Gross, the co-founder of PIMCO, one of the largest global investment firms with $1.3 trillion under management, speaking on CNBC. Naomi Klein.
Well, it's a really interesting analysis. I think there's a lot of truth in it. This is, you know, one of the contradictions of capitalism is that it is so destructive that it destroys its own base. You know, whether that's its base of consumers able to buy its products, which is why you have to feed them all kinds of cheap credit, which then becomes a bubble that pops and destroys the economy, you know, or it's whether it's the destruction of the ecosphere. I mean, whether it is the destruction of the natural systems on which we depend, and this is why I think we need to see the economic and the ecological crisis is absolutely intertwined, if not the same crisis that has their roots that have their roots in unfettered greed and an inability to say enough and an inability to understand that there are limits.
To 2010, for the first time since 1870, North Carolina has a Republican-controlled legislature, and the supposedly independent, very obviously partisan Republican money that got them there, that huge tide of independent money that got them there in 2010, get this, three quarters of that money can all be tied back to one person, one guy. Three quarters of all the independent money that flooded into the North Carolina races in 2010, into these state legislature races, all tied to one guy. his family members, his family foundation, and his business. Money all pretty obviously controlled by one guy. He targeted 22 races. He got a Republican into office in 18 of those 22 races. One guy. Three quarters of the outside money in the entire election. One guy. One guy who just sat down for a four-hour interview with Jane Mayer. Joining us now is Jane Mayer, staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. Her new article on North Carolina Republican kingmaker Art Pope appears in this week's issue of The New Yorker. Jane Mayer, thanks very much for being here.
Glad to be with you.
Should Art Pope sort of be seen as the one-man band that is the Republican Party in North Carolina now, or is he something new and different?
Well, in many ways, he is the one man who is single-handedly bankrolling a kind of a conservative takeover of the state. At least that's how the Democrats see it down there. It's a state that, as you said, is just completely key to Barack Obama's reelection, and it's a state that is traditionally neither completely red nor blue. It's kind of a purple state, but it went blue in 2008, and basically the Republican Party took one look at it and thought they've got to make sure that it doesn't go that way again in 2012. So there's been a lot of very careful and smart thinking going into the state and a ton of money. And as you say, almost all of the accounts, three-quarters of the independent spending in 2010 were accounts that linked back to this one Raleigh businessman named Art Pope, who has kind of a empire of discount stores and is a longtime far-right activist.
In terms of Art Pope's political interests, now that have become so important to the fate of North Carolinians, as you say, he's sort of the head of an empire of discount stores. He inherited this business empire from his dad, and his dad from his father before him. Has Art Pope been pushing an agenda that is more broadly conservative than just the sort of narrow advancing Republican partisan interests, as things that I described in the introduction?
Well, I mean, first of all, he makes a big point of saying he didn't inherit the business. It's a family business. He certainly went right into the family business, and he now owns it. It's privately owned, much like the Koch brothers own their own company also. Are his interests narrow? They are. He has a vision of America that requires turning back the tide of history to before the New Deal, basically. And he will say it has nothing to do with his business interests, but it does include things like opposition to the minimum wage law, and he hires an awful lot of people at minimum wages. And he also has opposition to most taxes and to all kinds of government services. And of course, because he has a fortune that includes something like $150 million in a family foundation, taxes are something that he pays a lot of. So you can certainly see that his political vision dovetails with his self-interest, but it goes beyond that, I think, really, with him. He's something of a kind of an ideological purist and a zealot to some extent, at least. I spent, as you said, many hours talking to him, and he's a very smart man. He's a lawyer who graduated from Duke Law School, and he's conversant in political philosophy. But at the end of the day, as one of the people I interviewed said, there's kind of a puerile and randism about him, and it comes out.
Talking about Art Pope there, of course, and if you're listening to what's happening in the news today, you probably have heard something that has to do with Occupy Wall Street, which trickles all the way down to the fact that people are protesting here in Raleigh on Sunday, and in many ways protesting what's happening with this guy Art Pope taking control of state legislature, as well as, you know, Duke Energy and some other people who happen to have control of our state assembly. And if you like what you're hearing, you want to hear more about progressive events going on in the world, as well as some, you know, underground hip-hop stuff that you haven't heard anywhere else, including some new mixes there from the new Low End Theory number 20 just came out this week, as well as some other stuff. Go to furiousg.blogspot.com. You can hear more about it. But if you are just kind of doing the old-school style thing, just checking it out online or on the radio right now live, definitely keep doing just that, because we got some bodaciousness coming on DJ Grizz is here. I'll be back next week. Stick around for more pirated commercial, non-commercial radio. I'm furious. Stick around.
Like Luke Skywalker out there with their clubs, billing in circles. Got a good number of people, probably about 20 or 30 arrests.
I just got 1,000 people just to stand with us in solidarity. Because what's going on right here is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. People should not have been pepper sprayed in the face, should not have been slammed to the ground. We did absolutely nothing wrong. We came peacefully, and it's gone on long enough. We just want peace. We just want change.